You ever fill out a March Madness bracket?
I have.
Every single year.
You fill one out every year. You don't miss.
Yeah.
You're a bracket guy.
Is how many brackets do I fill out? Yeah.
On average, per year, how many would you say you fill out?
2 to 3 brackets, at least.
You're 2 to 3 brackets. So let's go categories of life then. That's like a friend group or like some bros.
Yep, some guys.
Bros before Zoes, I get it. There's like staff.
And then staff, yeah, that's usually.
And then what's the third?
And then the third one would be like another group of friends or other staff members. Yeah.
You just got friends laying around.
Just huge groups of friends.
This social guy over here.
Last year was my first time doing it.
It was your first time doing it.
Yeah.
Should we do a leaner bracket?
Ooh.
I think by the time this airs, it's going to be way too late. Yeah, no.
I almost air horned. It was such an idea.
Yeah, no, we can hit Nick Saban real fast just because we're talking about.
You all may be taking a week off, but I'm not.
Okay, Nick, we get it, but you did quit Alabama.
He actually just retired.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're on the Senate floor talking about how bad NCAA is. So you are taking the week off, actually, technically speaking, until you sign your ESPN contract. April, your first year was last year.
Yes. And
didn't you do all mascots?
Yeah, I based it all off the logos, and I did pretty well for the beginning. I was like, I think I did get first place like one of the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was 13th like the rest of the time.
Yeah, I filled out 2 brackets this morning, and I'm such a sucker for the seeding.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm always like, there's no way this 12 will beat a 5.
But there's always a 12-5
upset.
There's
no way this 15 could come back and get a 2. But always.
Of course.
The hardest one's the 8-9.
Yeah.
It's just that sliver of, like, who's better here?
Yeah.
Genuinely.
I don't.
That's always my ups. It's always, I always go the other way because it's a toss-up.
You always try and predict the upset.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's the only thing that differentiates.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you're such a smart guy. I'm the idiot that's like, Duke's going to go all the way. I got Duke every year in the Final Four. Duke's in the championship game again this year. Like, I don't even believe Purdue can take out Kansas. Like, this is just the way my brain works. It's also the power of, like, brand.
Yeah.
Brand awareness. I'm like, Kentucky has to win that game.
My first bracket ever filled out was when UNC had Tyler Hansborough.
Oh, gosh, the best.
And so now every year I'm like, oh, UNC's got, they're going to. But yeah, like, it's just like ingrained.
That's what I'm saying. Power brand. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I grew up watching Kentucky with Rick Pitino, and I'm just like, they're still, even though it's Calipari, they're still those guys.
Yeah.
And it always pains me to choose Oregon winning anything. I just hate it. Like today, I put Oregon pretty far, maybe Elite Eight, not Final Four. I think Elite Eight. And I'm just like, every time I choose them as the winner, I die a little bit inside. I vomit in my mouth just a touch. Yes. It's like, ah, this is the worst. But I'm. what are you trying to figure out?
I'm like, I was thinking football for a second. I'm like, oh. And then I was like, well, no, wait, this is basketball.
I thought you, the way you were looking off into the sunset, I was like, did she see a seashell?
Oregon's the Ducks, right?
Yep, the Ducks.
Even the basketball team is still the Ducks.
And they are, just so we're clear, they're the lowest.
Ugh.
They're the scum. They're the worst. Oregon is the absolute bottom feeder. We cannot stand Oregon.
No, can't stand them.
I've trained my boys.
Or the Cougars.
Mm. Yeah, Cougs I can tolerate. They're like your cousin that can't catch a break. Yeah. They're just like, I feel bad for them.
I'm trying to think. Are there any Bay Area teams that are significant at all?
Stanford has had a few days. Cal, not so much. You know, they've put out some stars. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, so on and so forth. But Stanford has had a few runs.
Okay, makes sense.
Even in basketball, but more so in football, Christian McCaffrey, so on and so forth. I think when Harbaugh was there, he had a great run with them.
Good to know.
Yeah, yeah. But all that to say, it's March Madness. It starts tomorrow for us. It's a 9 a.m. start. It's one of the best days of the year, in my opinion. One of the best days of the year, 9 a.m. tomorrow. It'll go all day. The first 2 days of March Madness, basketball all day long. It is a dream. And the fact that how about this today? This is no, guys, this is no word of a lie. This kid, Winston Charles Veach, this morning set his alarm on his iPad. No Wi-Fi on that thing, by the way.
That's good.
Just so
this
we're very
really
clear,
yes.
No Wi-Fi on it. Just so we're aware of how serious this guy is. Got permission, asked his mom to do it with me because he knew I wouldn't. woke up this morning at 3 a.m. to watch the Dodgers play their opening game in South Korea. I think the game was held in South Korea.
Wow.
He watched the whole thing. When I got up this morning, he was still awake. Game was over. And he's like, Dad, I tried to go back to sleep. I couldn't. I'm just so excited. The Dodgers won. He watched the whole game.
That is so cool.
And by the way, if you think that discipleship doesn't work, you're kidding yourself. 3 a.m.
That is unbelievable.
Dedication.
And he, by the way, got in trouble, lost screens last weekend, all the way up to Tuesday, but made sure, Dad, can I please get my screens back for Wednesday? It'll technically be Wednesday, 3 a.m. I gotta watch the Dodgers opening it. Watch the whole thing.
That's amazing.
Just telling you, you all may be taking the week off, but I'm not. But what Winston's not, is that unbelievable?
A 10-year-old.
Yeah, 10-year-old really
filled out a bracket. Like, I've listened to Bill Simmons talk.
Technically, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, but I've listened to Bill Simmons talk about sports fans because, you know, like, that's that whole world, the Ringer world, the Grantland world. Grantland, and he's like, yeah, he's just like, some kids are just born like this.
Yeah.
Jeez. He's got that obsessive gene. He can list the whole Dodger lineup, the batting order, their jersey number, first and last name.
Yeah. That's like my brother. And when I was little, he would be outside mowing the lawn and you could hear him if you were like, in a room where there was a window open, he'd be like he'd be practicing like sports newscasting. Like,
oh, there we
he'd
go.
Be going through all That's of cool. like his version of daydreaming is like making up games from the players.
And stuff. By the way, this is what I was doing when I was that age. I was practicing leadership leaning.
You know, a leader is somebody that takes charge.
You're a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you guys are world changers.
All right, let's enough. Let's get to it. Here we go. Hey, welcome everybody to Leadership Lean In, episode number 152. 152 episodes in. At some point, guys, it's getting dangerous. We're going to hit 200 at some point.
Crazy.
If we keep doing this, you know what happens? As promised, progress. Thank you everybody for joining our channel. Hit the subscribe button, by the way, and make sure you don't miss out on any of the Leadership Lean In episodes. We are a small nation, indivisible, under God. You get it. We are trying to get a little bit better in our leadership. We're leaning in like we lean into wisdom. We believe that we can get better. And so thank you for everybody. Comment below. Where are you leaning in from? Let us know. It always encourages us to let us when we see, like, man, it's crazy. Someone's leaning in from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Someone's leaning in from Rhode Island, or fill in the blank, just or all over the world. Thank you so much. And as always, I am joined here by Nate Dumlau and...
Very good. I'm impressed.
Almost coming into the month of April, Maestas.
Great
is
job.
Is it? How do you say your last name?
Maestas.
Maestas. Mm-hmm. Hey, April's getting a couple comments on who is that?
Wait, if we have time at the end, you got
no.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple comments. Really, okay. I want to just kind of.
No, it's fine.
Some study people took for a their second. Shot.
Yeah, and I'm not mad at that. Comments. And then some people are like shooting down the shooter. I'm like, no, let come on, a shooter's got to shoot.
Absolutely.
Let it fly. You guys know our philosophy. all right. Also, by the way, in the link, subscribe to our leadership email. Every week we put out a leadership email that just have a few thoughts to help improve you. Overflow, get out of here. I'm a user. I'm not a seller. With Overflow, I don't sell this product. I use this product. Shout out to Overflow. Nate, hit us with the details of how Overflow is. I've been saying this. It's not facetious. I'm not playing this up. When I drop this line, I mean what I say. Gosh dang it. Golly darn it. They're changing the game.
Mm.
Yes.
They're game changers.
Yes.
Not quite history makers. Not Delirious Martin Smith. Mm. Not history makers yet. But they're game changers. What game in particular are they changing, Nate?
Well, I'm a user and aware of
Overflow. Wow, I didn't even notice.
I noticed.
That's great merch.
Oh, don't think I didn't notice.
Yeah, with the merch.
Don't you I think I didn't notice?
Yep. Overflow is completely innovating the game of giving and creating innovative ways, creative ways for you to get funds in your fundraisers. If you're a church, if you have an organization that's receiving funds, Overflow empowers you to receive not just traditional means of income like cash or debit, but things like crypto, stock, through wills, all sorts of creative ways to do it. They just sent us in the mail these little stickers that you can now tap with your phone.
So cool.
And I'm obsessed. Like everyone on our staff is running over We're tapping this sticker. And that's what it does. It drives people to give. Overflow empowers people to give. And so if you want to get involved or you want to see if this is the right fit for you and your organization, head over to overflow.co/LLI to book a demo, get connected with their team. They're all stars. They're amazing. They're innovating at such a fast pace. So head on over, overflow.co/LLI.
Okay. Today we are talking about, it's one of my favorite things to do in the whole world right there. Want me to do it one more time? Okay. Sounds good. It's all about the timing on that thing, man.
It really is.
I could be a drummer, you know. Oh. I want to talk today about episode 152, how to lead. Oh. I know that you are a leader, but I want to talk to you about how to lead. Three important things that I think you've got to apply in your leadership just to get a little bit better. We're going to jump right in. Here's the first one, and here's a great way on how to lead. Lead as a learner. Always, the greatest leaders are always asking questions. And so it's not about being a know-it-all. Instead, I would say, let's be an ask-it-all. Let's try and figure it out. Let's try and learn from people. And learning is a posture to me. It's not saying I only learn from Patrick Lencioni or Simon Sinek or you know, is it Ken Blanchard?
Sure. John Maxwell's another.
John Maxwell, of course. Stop. It's a given. Yeah. He's on our throne. We get it. Ken Blanchard. It's not just learning from the greats. I think you can learn from anybody.
Yeah.
It's the constant quest. If I want a lot of good things to say, I got to put a lot of good things inside. And so when you posture yourself as a student, a lifelong learner, there is no arrival in leadership. In leadership, you're never like, I figured it out. But I think that like, one of the great things about the quest of becoming a great leader is the acknowledgement that I am shocked by how little I know.
Mm.
Like, I can't believe, I am alarmed by how little I have discovered. And I think the opposite gets so impressed with themselves. Mm. Look at what I've learned. Look at what I have to offer. Look at these principles and these truths. But I think the best leaders are leading because they're learning. They're constantly evolving, growing, changing, maturing. How is that happening? Oh, because they're constantly learning.
Hmm.
And the more you learn, the more you can apply. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. That's why education is discipleship. The more I can learn, the more I can be educated, the more I can develop and grow. And so I would just encourage you, you want to know how to lead? Lead as you are the model student. I was watching this. I was reading this. I was listening to this. Last night, we were at a birthday party, and we were talking about audiobooks, and someone was recommending this parenting book. And she goes, are you a reader or are you a listener? I'm like, oh, I love audiobooks. She's like, me too. She's like, you got to get this book. And then as we're talking more and more, we're talking about other audiobooks. And, you know, when you're around other learners, it's so exciting to talk about what you just read.
Totally.
What you just heard. This article. I have this friend in my life. Shout out to Moksha that lives in New York and Miami. Mm. He is constantly sending me articles from the Wall Street Journal, from the New York Post, I'm just trying to think of all the different outlets, so many different media outlets. This guy's sending me podcasts. Mm. He's sending me business articles because I can tell he just consumed it. He's giving it away.
That's good.
That's how leaders lead. They lead by if you greatly you have received, freely you should give. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's constant. That's kind of what this podcast is, to be honest. Kind of the newest revelation of what we've been chewing on, thinking on, and all of that comes from what we're digesting. So always lead as a learner. And if you have that quality, I think people are drawn to it. People are attracted to those that they can sense. You're on the same journey as me. You might be further down the road. You might have a few things figured out more than me, but I can sense that you're just as hungry. You have that same, which requires humility. You can't be a know-it-all and be a learn-it-all. You just can't. Mm-hmm. You've got to have that humility quality of going like, I'm posturing myself as tell me, teach me, show me. I need insight, revelation, understanding, knowledge. I got to get it. And the more you get that, the more you learn. And the more you learn, the more you grow.
Yep.
This becomes the pursuit of life, in my opinion.
Totally.
The addiction.
Right. Do you think people underutilize the value of material, teaching material, and hope to rely on experience?
Yeah, I think the problem is, I think that it takes a lot of discipline to learn.
Mm.
And I think most people are drawn to entertainment rather than discipleship. Wow. Or learning.
Yeah, that's really
good. So I'd rather be entertained and just kind of check out from my world and problems rather than lean in and like, think about how much better you can get with money today. You have every resource available.
Right.
You have, there's so many tools just on financial fitness or financial literacy. We have no excuse to be unhealthy in, to be honest, any area of our life, because there's so much tools and resources out there. So in order to avoid all that, what am I doing? I'm just looking for entertainment.
Yeah.
And so because I'm doing that, I'm not disciplining myself to grow. So I don't think it's just relying on experience. I think it's avoiding the dentist, avoiding the
bank account,
bank, avoiding anything because the cost of it is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading this book, or I'm listening to this book.
Yeah, there you go.
Called,
thank you for correction.
Called Willpower. And it's talking about things like learning a new skill. It has two really good observations. Number one, don't try to learn a new skill in the afternoon.
There you go.
Learn it either in the early in the morning or when you've had time to rebuild your like cognitive tank.
Yes.
So you can actually engage it. And the second thing is learning a new skill or learning a new idea is compound. It's like investing in a highly explosive stock. A new skill will go so much farther, a new idea will go so much farther than any other investment you can make in your life.
Wow.
And that just requires you to be a learner. Do you have a place you go to, like a list of books or like sometimes I'll finish a book, then I'll go like, okay, let's go shopping for a new book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do you have a list? Like, where do you go to, like, what resources stand out to you that gives you...
You know, I think
next place to learn.
The greatest resource on the next place to learn is your company that you keep, the people that you live life with.
That's good.
There is no better resource than the people that are trying to grow and learn alongside of you. So last night at the party, what are we doing? We are swapping hacks, cheat codes, development. Right? There's no better. It's like the whole saying: there's no greater marketing than word of mouth.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the greatest hack. There's no worse place of being on Apple and trying to look up top leadership books, you know, and going like, what is good? Yeah. What do I want? So then I'm totally dependent upon titles, subtitles, authors, their credibility, who recommended, how many Amazon reviews did it get? Why do they have 100? I saw last night on Greenlight, because we were talking about the best audiobooks. So I was telling somebody, the best audiobook I think that I've listened to is Greenlight, just because of his voice. It has 177,000 reviews.
Reviews. 177,000.
Okay. So that's how you know something's good.
Yeah. Right.
So sometimes when you're looking for stuff, you go, well, clearly this is good. It's got 16,000.
It's good.
I think The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer's, comes on like 11 or 16,000 reviews on Amazon.
Amazing.
So you know something's good. Mm-hmm. What if it only has like, you know, 150, 200? Yeah. Is it as good?
I actually stay away from them.
You do?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I go like, oh, there's only 150 reviews. Am I going to waste my time by reading or listening to this book? I think the reviews thing is real. I've been going on ChatGPT and I've been typing in, pretend you are blank, John Maxwell.
Yeah.
And create a list of books that you would read on this subject.
Hmm. Wow. There you go.
And it would spit out.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Here's my, you know, yeah, or whatever subject, finances. Pretend you're Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
And recommend 10 books.
That's but it's it to me, it's the posture, it's the position. We can never get over that. Tell me, teach me, and being open to learn, not just from the greats. You can learn from anyone, any situation, any circumstance. It is a heart posture. Number two, how to lead. Lead as a developer of other leaders. Belay has changed the game once again. Here to give us the insightful details of how you can get involved. I know there's leaders here that are looking to hire. I know you're looking. I know you're searching high and low. We have found the answer for you. April, hit them with the sauce, aka the details.
Absolutely. Our friends at Belay have the flexible staffing solutions that you need to delegate the details and free yourself up to lead, because we all need to delegate, free up some time. So whether it's accounting, administrative, social media tasks, Belay, their exceptional US-based talent can take that off your plate. So to help you get started, Belay is offering a free download of their ebook, Rise Up and Lead Well. Learn how you can spend more time focused on doing what only you can do by leveraging the power of delegation. So just text LEANER, that's all caps, L-E-A-N-E-R, to 55123 for the free copy. Again, L-E-A-N-E-R to the number 55123. They're going to connect with you. You're going to get this ebook. Find the right hire right now through Belay.
How to lead. Lead as a developer of other leaders. You've got to put a premium and a priority on developing those that are around you. Great leaders do not fall from the sky. Great leaders don't just knock on your door and go, here I am, and I arrived great. No, it takes a lot of discipline in your world, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of devotion to other people to develop others. So how do you develop other great leaders? One of the great ways is life on life. We're living life together. We are in community together. It's not just in the office together, and we're doing our best in the office to correct some things, but we got to get some meals. We got to go to the park. We got to share some life on life to really develop. And I always think, how do you really develop other people? It takes time, it takes sacrifice, takes commitment, takes devotion. But one of the great questions is, what are you willing to tolerate? Because when someone is not great, and how do you take someone from a level one or two up to a 10? It is the accountability that you're holding them on their, we can see the potential. We can see there's greatness. I think one of the things about great leaders is they can spot talent. They can see talent. This guy is, could be, potential. So you see that. You see, and this is an old line, but you see gold when even others see garbage. Because most people are seeing where they are. You see where they could go. And this is, to me, one of the discerning things about a leader developer is going like, yeah, there's some character, but if you work past that short fuse, you work past that inability to take care of money, you look past these certain deficiencies right now, if we can get the right character developed and the right chemistry with others, they're going to be great. So the question is, what am I willing to tolerate on their path from 2 to 10? And a lot of times, a lot of leaders get stuck at the 3-4 because they've been allowed to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And so their growth gets stunted by you, the developer. So I would say the best thing you could do is be committed to follow-up, accountability, course correction. This is different than criticism. Criticism is just going like, I don't like the way you did that. Developing is addressing character flaws, character issues, things that are going to hurt them down the road, bad habits that they've got to break. So I think the best leaders, how do I lead? I lead with a commitment to develop people around me. And that doesn't mean babysit, but it does mean holding people accountable to going like, whoa, you said this in that meeting. Hey, that's not going to work down the road. Hey, we're not always going to be together, and I'm committed to you even when you're not here. So let's work on this stuff, because I know you might not see it even in yourself, but I can see it. I've been around enough. Trust me, you're great. But there are some things that are going to slow you down, or I always love this line. I think you cut this up the other day, the God-given potential, or Macy or somebody did. Mm-hmm. But it's like that. I've been stuck on this line. Your God-given potential. There is a grace. There is a God-given potential that's locked up inside of you. The only thing that would prohibit you from not tapping into your God-given potential is allowing these things that you have developed in your life to hold you down or slow you down.
Yeah.
We've got to break those chains off. And so a lot of times the way that happens is someone is in your life developing you, holding you accountable, not allowing you to act like a knucklehead. It's not because they're mad at you. It's that they're committed to you. Mm-hmm. And this becomes whether someone can... It's not even really about the leader developer sometimes. More, it's about the student going like, I can't accept the bit. I can submit my life. I can't receive and accept constructive criticism. When people can't do that, it's like, man, that was such a bummer because they could have been so great. But I'm going to do my best, no matter what their reaction is, to develop those that are around me.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about accountability really quick? Because I think the accountability that is the stereotypical accountability is once a week, I'm going to meet with someone who has authority in my life, and I'm going to confess the stuff, you know, I've kind of gone through, and then maybe they'll give me a verse or give me some advice, and then that's accountability. Mm. In my experience, especially with you, that's never been the case. Mm. You know, I don't know how many once a week meetings we've had about accountability, but I've been around you so often and so much. In that moment, you're keeping me, hey, just real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Why did you say that?
Yeah.
And I think that people mess up accountability because it requires you to live life next to someone.
That's exactly right.
You can't do it one day a week. It's got to be in the flow of everyday life.
Yeah. And I think that's why people hide. Mm-hmm. Is that they don't, you know, community is so messy. That's why I think people avoid community, because in community comes great accountability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In community, it's like you don't get to act that way in community because everybody's like, hey, that wasn't cool.
Right.
And so most people, because of character deficiencies, stay away because they're like, I'm not good enough to be around other people. I've got these glaring weaknesses. I think that security goes, I know I'm deficient. I know I'm not well, or I'm not there yet. But I know the only way for me to grow is in relationship.
Yeah.
Hey, why did you do that? Hey, do you realize how offensive that is? Hey, you left us with the bill.
Yeah.
That wasn't cool.
Yep.
And that's how you grow. That's how you get better, is through relationship. The lie of even developing as a leader is that I can listen to podcasts and read books. Mm-hmm. The way that you really grow is living in community, being on a team, being on a staff, being with people and being around people. And that rub, that challenge, that sharpening is what really accelerates your growth.
Yeah.
That's great. What would you say to someone who is maybe doesn't realize they're developing people and that people are being influenced by them, and it comes to a point where they realize, oh, I got to take this seriously and be intentional about this.
Yeah.
How would you go about that, address that?
Well, I think it's always good to let people, it's like this is what we do with our kids all the time, right? It's always good to acknowledge how influential somebody is so they can weaponize that for good and not for bad.
Mm.
So they can weaponize it as a serving agent, not as a self-serving agent. So I think, like, for example, like my son, when he talks a certain way, I will say, hey, just so you just a heads up, when you say that, you know that your 8-year-old little brother and your 6-year-old little brother is going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I don't want you to say that is because you might understand what that means, but they don't, and that's not good. So I think the same thing applies with 30-year-olds and 50-year-olds. Mm. Hey, just so you know, like, when you, the ripple effect of your decisions are wild. Do you understand how influential you are? Do you understand how powerful you are? I've said it probably 1,000 times. I said it on this podcast maybe 152 times. The fastest way to lose influence is not to be aware of influence.
Mm-hmm.
How influential you are. And then when you're negligent with it and you're reckless with it and you don't use it for its proper use, all of a sudden, people start to lose respect and trust because you led them down a bad path. And they're like, wait, why did I follow so-and-so down this path?
Yeah.
It really messed with me.
Yeah. We know someone in, they went viral on social media. And they went from, you know, zero to 180,000 followers, kind of in, you know, out of nowhere. And they started being complete and authentic to who they were. And then eventually they stopped posting the viral stuff and they just went back to who they were and they lost all their following. Mm. And the consequence of that is all these people who were looking to that person for advice, trust, you know, how to live their life, realize that it was all inauthentic. Mm. And so now they have all the collateral damage of figuring out, was this a lie? Is this the wrong way? And in leadership, if you're not leading authentically with your influence, then there's so much collateral damage that happens in the wake of that. It's a scary proposition what you're talking about, having influence and not realizing you have it. Mm. That's actually terrifying to me.
Yeah, because I think, you know, everyone loves this word self-awareness. And I think with self-awareness, you know, comes the responsibility of understanding who you are and how powerful your words are and what you're really put on earth to do. Mm-hmm. Did God give you all this power and influence to weaponize it just for your own gain or your own good or your own platform to monetize that, make money? Or do you have all this power as a resource to help and to give, to heal, to bless, to encourage, to make someone else feel big rather than use them so you can feel big? That becomes, to me, true influence when you realize, wait, I've got all this platform and all this power, but it's definitely not for me. I can recognize it's for something bigger than even my own gain. That's leadership to me. Great. And that there begins the process of you developing other people around you. Here's the third one. How to lead creating great culture. Be obsessed with environment. Be obsessed with the culture that you create. Never stop developing. And I think when we talk about culture, we talk about what are you willing to tolerate in your culture? So you define culture. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to look like. This is what I want to feel like. This is what I want the sound and the communication. And then anything that's outside of that culture you created, police it. Mm-hmm. Hold it accountable. Do not allow it. If you tolerate those things, it's going to start to pervert. It's going to start to distort your culture. So you are a culture carrier. You're a culture creator. And I love this. I heard this story about Nick Saban yesterday. Nick Saban, before, you know, he would bring in these you know, leadership gurus and these guys that can talk really well to his team. And this one guy told a story. He's getting ready to go talk to Alabama football. And before he went into the meeting with the football team, Nick Saban wanted to meet with him to hear his talk.
Mm.
And so Nick's, okay, what are you talking about today? So the guy starts giving him, you know, the talk, and this is what we're going to go through. And Nick's, I don't like this one. No, let's take that out. I don't think that's good. And the guy said he was so nervous. You know, here is Nick Saban's editing his speech. And then he goes out and he talks to the football team, and he does as good of a job as he can. But they say Nick Saban, if someone was speaking to his team and he didn't like what they were saying, he just shut them down. Because he's protecting his culture.
Yeah.
You can't just allow these outside influences and these other people to speak into it. No, you're the most precious thing you have in the world is your heart, your conscience, your life, and who you are, because you are the ultimate carrier of culture. Culture is how we act, react, and respond to other people. This culture is not what we say. Culture is what we do. We carry the culture. And as you lead, I want to encourage you, develop a culture you're proud of. Develop a culture that when you come into to the office, you come to work, you go, this is the culture we want to create. And the great thing about developing a great culture is you're constantly policing it. Mm-hmm. Because just because you said it and it's on the walls doesn't mean everybody's behaving that way. Mm. Doesn't mean everybody's living up to those standards. So I always try and make the culture the bad guy, not me.
Right.
So here's our vision, our values, and our standards. These are the walls, or these are the lines. We're going to live within this box and we're going to have fun within that. Anything outside of that, we just can't allow it, because we've defined clearly what our culture is. And when you do that and you lead strong with that, everybody feels safe. Mm-hmm. Everybody feels like, man, we know what this is. And anything that's outside of that's like, oh.
Right.
Did you see that thing? Did you? That's not our culture. Because our culture is defined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you lead as a learner. We're developing, but we're also creating a culture that we're proud of and we're excited about.
I love that.
Culture trumps vision and strategy for breakfast every single day. Culture trumps everything.
It's good. I think the culture also, something I've really noticed, especially here at Zoe, at this organization, is that culture really empowers people.
Yes.
And it gives people authority to lead because they have those safe boundary lines. Whereas, yes. You know, if you don't know where you're going, how can you take someone else with you?
Yes.
And so when we define culture, when we clearly state our mission, our vision, our values, and not only those things, but how daily we're accomplishing those things, there's no better feeling of security, safety, empowerment of, oh, I not only can do this for myself, but because this is so prominent and because it's not just a lesson we learned, but it's our culture, I feel like I can empower someone else.
That's exactly right. There you go. I've received it. I'm digesting it. I'm learning it. I'm chewing on it. And because I'm internalizing it, then it could come out of me. Mm-hmm. That to me is strong culture.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think culture is something that you can learn to replicate and grow. So the stronger the culture it is, the stronger or the easier you're going to be able to replicate leaders in your organization.
That's right.
Really weak culture, it's really hard to replicate other people like
yes.
you.
Yeah.
Because you had to have such strong police officers of that weak culture.
That's right.
And when the culture can get to the place where, like you said about community, it just, there's accountability in community because the culture of that community is strong enough to create or to reproduce itself.
That's right.
And so I love that about, you know, I think maybe it was a couple podcasts ago or something like that. We were talking about culture and you brought up the point. You're like, it's not that they had a bad culture. It's that they didn't police the
culture.
That's
it. That's everything.
And that's what it is. It's like leaders are always looking to go, wait, that's something that we don't do.
Yeah.
Here's what we do instead. But the police officers of culture, I don't know.
Culture carriers.
Yeah. It's also praising the right culture.
That's exactly right.
That's good,
and so you can't just shout out, oh, that's not our culture. You have to go, oh, man,
I love that you did that.
That's so us. I actually want to be more like that.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. And I think when you're praising, not just a good effort, but when you're praising, man, that's exactly how we want to run the play. I think that inspires everybody around to go like, oh, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a culture of celebration. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's so important that you're carrying it. It's more about what you're saying yes to than what you're saying no to.
Yeah.
We are going to live with these values and these principles and these truths, and we're excited about it. And I think when you do that in a strong way and you lead that way, I think people are drawn and attracted to it. I am always inspired by strong culture. Even if it's not my culture, I can acknowledge it and respect it and go like, wow, they worked hard to develop this.
Yeah.
It's a commitment. It's not overnight. And so we love you. We thank God for you. We're just leaning, not back. How loud is that chair, by the way? That's a loud chair right there. We're not leaning back. We're leaning, what's the next word? In.
Yeah.
We're leaning in.
I almost said forward.
I'm like, wait, are we all singing this together?
We're leaning in to leadership. We love you so much, leaners. Thank you again. Hit subscribe, leave a comment, share the pod. Thank you to everybody that's been sharing the pod. I love saying pod. Sharing the pod as of late. We love you, and we'll see you for episode 153 next week.